WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is humorist Cynthia Heimel. Her work appears regularly in The Village Voice and Playboy magazine. In her book, Sex Tips for Girls, she offers irreverent advice on such topics as sex, of course, curing a broken heart, and surviving the great American boyfriend crunch. Heimel's new book includes the script of her off-Broadway play, A Girl's Guide to Chaos, along with commentaries and observations on the uncharted course for women in the 80s. Well, the 80s are almost over, so I asked Cynthia Heimel if she's relieved.
Well, I think the 80s have been hard on everybody. You know, it's, I don't know if it's the, is there such a harmonic convergence, I believe it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been, people have lost money, people have just kind of come under it in some way or another. And, you know, the me decade, the greed decade, it's, we're tired. We want to just have a nice, sweet decade now.
Well, how different has this decade been from the last half dozen decades?
Well, you know, as I said in my books, I should have, in my many books. Oh, here's one now. In the 20s, we were, you know, did the Charleston, bobbed our hair, danced around. We knew what we were supposed to do. We had plenty of suitors. In the 30s, we, you know, were cheerful and tried to get jobs, and the stock market crashed. So we knew then what we were supposed to do. In the 40s, we, you know, we worked for the war effort. In the 50s, we had patios and Japanese lanterns, and, you know, it was all kind of the man in the gray flannel suit. And in the 60s, well, we know what we did in the 60s. We're not telling. and then 70s, we became feminists. And in the 80s, we really didn't know what to do anymore. You know, we had no idea. There's no role models for what women are faced with nowadays. We can't look backwards and say, well, I'm going to be like, you know, Claire Booth Luce, because we don't really want to be like anybody in the past.
Well, you said once this is the decade where you figured out the Myrna Loy way of being.
Right.
Which is what?
Well, whenever I'm too stupid or depressed or manic to, you know, use my own personality, which is normally okay, my own personality, but every once in a while I'm just, you know, too angry with a lover or just too strung out, I just try and focus on Myrna and think, what would Myrna do in a situation like this? And it really works. It's kind of, you know, loyitude can flood over your body and make you calm and make you say witty, smart, wonderful things instead of the normal things you say in situations like that, which is, after all I've done for you, look how you treat me. Which is really a bad idea.
And it works?
Yeah. I mean, I noticed that when I got angry with my boyfriend, I would open my mouth and turn into my mother. And that is never a good thing to happen in the middle of a fight, you know. And if you say, what have I done to deserve this, people will tell you. And, you know, you're already in a bad mood and you don't want to hear that.
You've talked about all this for years in your stories and your essays. And then you did a play, A Girl's Guide to Chaos. What made you want to do that?
I didn't. But Wynne Hanman, the director of the American Place Theater, phoned me up and said, have you ever thought about doing theater? And I said, no, and I'd never heard of him. Of course, he's this big, famous guy, but I know so little about the theater. And he said, please send me all your work. And then he called 3 months later and said, could you please send me all your work? And another month later, could you please just send me? And eventually we got together, and you know, use some of my work as a basis. And then I wrote dialogue and turned my generic characters into actual, you know, sort of flesh and blood type characters. We put it on in a basement at the American Place Theater, and it did really well, so we moved it up to the main stage.
So where did you sit on opening night?
Well, we were in the basement on opening night, I guess, and I was sitting behind John Simon, the critic, and not far away from Stephen Holden, another critic.
Were you watching their faces?
Of course. I never looked at the stage for a second. And I remember John Simon's date was this sort of meek woman who every time she wanted to laugh, looked at him first to make sure he was laughing. And I wanted to go up to her and say, come on! Stop it.
Did you have that fantasy that after opening night, you'd walk into a local restaurant and all the diners would burst into applause when you walked through the door?
No. I had that fantasy too long ago when I had my first piece published in the Soho Weekly News. You know, I thought everybody's going to know me. I'm going to walk in and people are just going to say, aren't you Cynthia Heimel? And it never happened. So I never, I got more attention for doing a play than I've ever gotten before in my life.
And did you like that?
I kept feeling like turning around and looking to see who was behind me because I just couldn't believe all the fuss. It was only momentary. I mean, I don't want to say, you know, it's still going on or, boy, am I a big shot. But for a couple of weeks there, I was, you know, doing real well. And, you know, everybody said, oh, yes, you're. And I was amazed by it. I encourage people who want a lot of attention to write plays.
You've also done stories on women for Playboy. I was pretty intrigued with your story about you feeling like the only person on earth who doesn't love Marilyn Monroe.
You know, I got a lot of letters in response to that, and very few of them were negative. I think that Marilyn Monroe herself was not someone that I hated, but the what she elicited from men was really appalling. A basic look that I saw in all her movies was, if I play my cards right, I might trick her into letting me have sex with her. And she was just such a quintessential doe caught in the glare of headlights that it made me crazy.
What women do you love right now?
Let's see. Well, I do like Cher. I know there's people going, Cher, ugh, she's disgusting. Ugh, she's had all that plastic surgery. But she's so feisty. She's such a wise ass. She's so sort of captain of her own ship that I really like her. I enjoy women who are not victimized. And there's so much in the movies of women being victimized, even to this day.
I just saw an old copy of a story you wrote for Cosmopolitan on how to flirt. You know, here we are 5 years later, and I'm wondering if the rules for that have changed.
That actually was an excerpt from Sex Tips.
Oh, yeah? Was
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, yeah. Have the rules changed?
For flirting? No. Flirting is still a very nice, invigorating thing to do, and no, the rules haven't changed. You know, it's still kind of feel good about yourself. Hey, I'm great. And not worry about what your hair looks like. And if your hair's really a mess, don't even try to flirt, because you won't be able to.
So what's the latest with the boy-girl scene in New York these days? Is there a trend going on at the moment?
Well, a lot of people are getting married. Otherwise, a lot, you know, there's nobody is having sex. That sounds like a contradiction. But people who are just single and sort of knocking around are not having any casual sex, and we can understand why. There's not a big dating scene. I'm sure I haven't ever been to a singles bar except once in my life. And I don't know if they're still there, but, you know, I'm sure nobody's really going to them. Or else people are getting married and having babies. I think babies are the Cuisinarts of the 80s.
Yeah.
They're like these major accessories, you know. People are buying $400 strollers for them and, you know, $600 hand-knitted sweaters. And there's all these magazines out.
So as this decade winds down to a close, and after all these essays over the years from you, you think you've got this great boyfriend crunch thing figured out?
No, not at all. No, now I have to start thinking about, well, what happens now when you start, you know, aging? I don't want to say like I'm getting old, but I do have a 17-year-old son, and I'm in my late 30s, so I'm thinking, oh, no, this is a new one that I have to deal with. You know, what do I do now? Now I'm like this old broad. So the boyfriend crunch thing is never going to be settled by one woman in one moment of time. But I do think that women will eventually settle down into their new roles and feel a lot better. And men will be able to settle down a little bit more, too.
Cynthia Heimel is a regular columnist for The Village Voice and Playboy magazine. Her new book, A Girl's Guide to Chaos, is published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to Fresh Air.